see how we all are getting on and how we can bring about a motivation in so far as the temple is concerned. We come to a completion of the temple, and we do have almost confirmed with Maharaj today an opening date of the temple is the day before Gaur Purnima, March 11th, 2017. And then we have Gaur Purnima the next day, which is March 12th. So we could actually see the building committee is working directly into that. We've had meetings early in the week, and we looked at the possibility, and it's been agreed it is the date that will be okay for the official opening. For whatever we are going to do, the building committee will be meeting with Maharaj tomorrow morning and give him all the details in regards to the opening. Be as it may, various subjects are going to come on, and more importantly, Maharaj is going to motivate us to get going. Srila Prabhupada is in Maritzburg. I don't see anybody saying Haribol. Srila Prabhupada is in Maritzburg.
Haribol.
Nothing. Okay, that's not done. That's not good enough. Srila Prabhupada is in Maritzburg. Is 4 kilometers away from here.
Haribol.
Was it loud enough, Maharaj?
It was
one loud. I don't think that we can do it. Right. Srila Prabhupada is 4 kilometers away from here. We had a very good opportunity of opening the case this afternoon and this evening with Maharaj to make sure Srila Prabhupada Murthy is okay. You know, there's nothing because of all the traveling and everything. Srila Prabhupada took a long time to travel from India. So we are very, very fortunate in having Srila Prabhupada here. So that's the next point. The topic tonight is Srila Prabhupada is 4 kilometers away from here, and what are we as devotees going to do? This is the topic tonight. What are we as devotees going to do to make Srila Prabhupada be installed on the 11th of March in our temple? And that is important. There is a little talk about the possibility. I'm saying it because Srinja Swarup Prabhu, there is the possibility of even installing the deities too on that day. You know, so you could actually see that is something. But nothing confirmed, but working towards that in that direction. It just came out of Swarup Prabhu. Swarup Prabhu is talking, he's right here. So in any case, we'll have a look at that. Maybe Swarup Prabhu can make a comment on that at a later stage. Maharaj, thank you very much for being with us, and please give us your mercy, and so that we can get Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and we will all work together in serving ISKCON. ISKCON is very, very important for us, and we want to remain in ISKCON, and we want to be here. Thank you, Maharaj, and so to you. Hare Krishna.
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakarpaturubias chakripas, sindubia evacha. Patitanam pavanebio, vaishnavebio, namo namaha. So, Hare Krishna, devotees.
Hare.
How nice to be here with you all. And it's so encouraging and inspiring, actually, to see how the temple is developing, and we're almost there, actually. We're almost there. Not quite, but almost there. Of course, being there, what is there? There, of course, being there in a particular sense means the physical building is practically completed. So that's there, almost there. But on a higher level, higher, deeper, depending how you look at it, a more significant level, ultimately, is being there means that we as devotees, that we are personally ready to deal with the temple and what the temple really is and what must happen in the temple. You know, building the temple has not been easy. It has really not been easy. It's taken many years. I'm not sure how many, but
19.
Is it 19? Okay. So yes, there was some construction here, but then it wasn't done properly. You remember that? Many years ago, some foundations were there, but then it got abandoned, and then everything had to be redone. So the actual construction as such has not been easy. And particularly certain devotees have really worked very hard on the actual construction. And that's wonderful, and we thank them, and we all have a great debt to them, because we could all just have carried on at Heather High. Is it Heather High? We could have carried on there, just having our, what was it, Friday or Thursday Namahata. We could have. But to have our own place like this, oh, that, it's another dimension, actually. So that's wonderful, and that's really important. And those devotees who have made the effort have already got a lot of mercy, because of the efforts they've made. Now the temple, Madhukanta Prabhu, very boldly, of course, Madhukanta Prabhu is well known for being very bold. And you know, generally that's very good. Better than just being sort of too shy to do anything. So boldly he said, Gopurnima means March the 11th and 12th. It's a Saturday and Sunday. So I would like to say that I'll be extremely happy if it happens, and I mean at that time. And even if everything is not ready, but I would expect, there's still 6 months, I would expect everything will be ready enough to open then. So our eyes, we're looking towards that, and I'll be here myself. So wonderful. But then, you know, the deeper thing than the bricks and the cement and the marble and so on, the deeper thing is us, our spiritual development, our development as devotees. And I don't know if you're aware, but yesterday was the 51st anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's arrival in America. Very significant. And of course it's part of the whole 50th anniversary. We had a celebration. We were there last night in Sandton, Johannesburg. We had a nice program there and just focusing on Srila Prabhupada. So when we talk about our personal development and the relationship between that and having a temple, the functioning of the temple, and well, Madhukanta Prabhu mentioned how Srila Prabhupada is already in Pietermaritzburg, and I believe Gaur Nithai are in Durban, right? They've been waiting for you for a couple of years, actually. I don't know if you're aware of that. They're waiting for you. They're waiting for the building because obviously we have to have a proper place to put them. But they're waiting for us in terms of our spiritual development, because Srila Prabhupada, when he arrived 51 years ago in America yesterday, so Srila Prabhupada came to give something which, of course, is quite recognizable by anyone from a Hindu background. It's quite recognizable. Deities, chanting, mantras, certain types of clothing, and so on like that. So Srila Prabhupada came to give something which, again, on a certain level, on a particular level, is quite recognizable to people from that sort of background. But what he actually came to give was not what the people were used to in those terms. Means that the Hindu people, which, you know, unfortunately, due to the influence of Kali Yuga, it's a deteriorated form, or there are different versions of deteriorated forms of the actual Vedic tradition, the tradition given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So, you know, all the Mayavad ideas, it's all one. We're all God. You can worship this one or that one. It doesn't matter, because they're just different manifestations of the one. I mean, that's one example. There are numerous. When Srila Prabhupada first arrived in New York, he was thinking how to find people to preach to. And there were already yoga societies, people learning Hatha Yoga. And Prabhupada went and visited some, thinking, here we'll find people who are interested in spiritual things, the Indian spiritual tradition. But Prabhupada became disappointed. And Prabhupada said that he went there to a few of those places, and all he found was middle-aged ladies, overweight middle-aged ladies, who wanted to do exercises to lose weight. So that's another deteriorated form, isn't it? There are all sorts of deteriorated forms of the Vedic tradition. But Srila Prabhupada came to give us 51 years ago yesterday. He arrived to give the world and us here in Pietermaritzburg the real thing, which actually works, which is valid, which is not just some imagination or some sort of speculation, but which will actually give us the possibility of reawakening our forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the process, step by step, progressive process for that. So this is what this temple is here for. It's to present that to the people in general of Pietermaritzburg, and it's for us as the practicing devotees to have the facilities and opportunities to practice the process of devotional service properly, and in that way actually progress and not just be some sort of sentimental religionists who come in front of the altar and just pray, what is it, Dunam Dehi, something like that. Give me money and give me this, give me that. Pure Krishna consciousness, the pure Vedic tradition means not what can God do for me, but what can I do for him? That is the process. And Krishna consciousness is the development of that. And indeed, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness, what is it? Krishna consciousness is the development of our eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. But it is disguised as a process with rules and regulations and do this and don't do that. But what we're doing, we're developing a real relationship. But to develop that real relationship, it's not just some sort of casual thing. One really has to be prepared and trained to actually enter that relationship. And that is the process. Prabhupada did use the term on numerous occasions. That's Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada gave us. So for the public, the temples here is a facility to help them become Krishna conscious. For the devotees, for ourselves, the temple is a facility for us to further develop our Krishna consciousness, our dormant Krishna consciousness, but in very real and systematic ways, as given by Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada, we were discussing last night, when he came 51 years ago, Srila Prabhupada, he arrived in, first of all, he landed in Boston. And the next day they went to New York. The ship went on to New York where he actually landed and then started his mission. But first of all, they were in Boston for a day or some time. And Srila Prabhupada noticed an advertisement, some big advertisement, for steel, and it said unalloyed steel. Unalloyed steel. And that struck Srila Prabhupada, and he noted it. And later he told the devotees that he'd seen that. that this is what he had come to give, unalloyed Krishna consciousness, not mixed with alloys, you know, other lower class metals, right? Which are of little value. So unalloyed, pure unalloyed Krishna consciousness, free from karma in the sense of materialistic religion, free from jnana, meaning mental speculations, and other impure ideas, free from those things. So Srila Prabhupada, in order to give that, we were discussing last night, and I don't know if you've read the Leelamrita. If not, you really should. Particularly that part of Srila Prabhupada starting in America. It's just amazing what he did and what he had to put up with. For what? To give that unalloyed, pure Krishna consciousness. So he started, and for about a year, Srila Prabhupada struggled. He really struggled. You know, first of all, he went to, for 1 month, I think a few weeks, to a family in Butler, Pennsylvania, some town not so far, 100 or 200 kilometers perhaps from New York. And there he lived with the Agarwals. Mr. Agarwal was the son of a bridge busi from Mathura. But he had come to America to make his fortune. And he had married Mrs. Agarwal, Sally, who was like a typical middle-class American woman. And Mr. Agarwal became acculturated. He basically was an American. He was basically an American. Prabhupada opened the fridge. They said, yeah, you can store your vegetables in the fridge. He opened the fridge. There's all this meat there. He had to push the meat aside to make a space for his vegetables. And that was just the start. Then he went to New York after some weeks. And first of all, he had to stay with one Dr. Mishra, who was a Mayavadi yoga teacher, who was also fairly substantially acculturated to the American way. He's the one who famously told Prabhupada that if you want to reach these people, touch their hearts and get them to take an interest, then you can't be strict like, you know, a sadhu. You have to dress suitably. You can't wear these robes and things like that. Shave your head. Tilak, don't do that. And vegetarianism, no. You have to be ready to eat meat and drink a bit. Otherwise these people won't accept you. And he told Prabhupada famously that when you're trying to, you know, sort of infiltrate or spread your message amongst these people, he said, you can be a yogi by day, but you have to be a bogey by night. Bogey means enjoyer, sense enjoyer. Yes. Otherwise, you know, these people, they just won't be interested. But Srila Prabhupada didn't do that. He stuck at it. The real thing. Krishna consciousness as it is. And then, you know, of course, it's a bit of a long story. You can read in the Leelamrita. It's just so interesting and so amazing how Srila Prabhupada You know, first of all, he stayed for some few months with Dr. Mishra, the Mayavadi, and then moved to, Dr. Mishra had a few yoga studios. Prabhupada moved to another one, not where the man himself was living. And then eventually he moved out and got a room, $72 a month. $72 a month. The room had no windows. No windows. And he's just living there, and someone broke in. Someone donated a typewriter and a reel-to-reel, one of these big old-style tape recorders. Someone broke in and stole them. And then the Prabhupada's moving about, meeting some people occasionally, some people from the yoga place. They started taking a little bit of an interest. Prabhupada went to their, they had a special like samadhi room for deep practice of yoga. Prabhupada thought, oh, I'll find some people here who'll be interested. So he went in there, there are these people, you know, sitting down, looking very serious, like they're really into yoga. And you notice some of them were dozing off. And some of them were dozing right off. And coming back, you know, 5 minutes later or so, and saying, oh, that was a really nice meditation. I feel so refreshed now. And Prabhupada thought, yes, of course you feel refreshed. After a short nap, of course you feel refreshed. So anyway, Prabhupada then, after Dr. Mishra, and then the other place of Dr. Mishra's, and then a room with no windows for $72 a month, then Prabhupada moved in with, was it? Anyway, some young fellow, may have been David, some young chap. And this fellow seemed quite nice, somewhat interested, not too much, but a little interest was there. But that man, that young man, he was a hippie, and one day he took too much LSD. I think any LSD is too much, but he took too much, and he just lost his mind and attacked Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. And Prabhupada just had to go out on the street and move out. And there were a few people who he was in touch with, and he just had to sort of roll up on their doorstep. You know, I cannot stay at that place. Can you put me up? And some householders took him in their small place. But hippie householders and a staunch swami living together, it didn't work. And Prabhupada again had to move out. Then he got a place on the Bowery. If you ever go to New York, the Bowery's still there. They call it Skid Row. There's a population between 7,000 and 8,000 homeless people. Between 7,000 and 8,000 in that quite small area. And Prabhupada, to reach his room, he would every time have to push some unconscious drunk out of the way or step over the top of him. And then eventually, what was it? It may have been like, it was early 66, maybe March or so. Prabhupada, with the help of Mukunda Maharaj, he got 26 Second Avenue. And then the preaching really started. I mean, it had already started, but then real momentum developed. But still, Prabhupada was dealing with these crazy hippies. I don't know if you've ever met a bona fide hippie. You know, actual, traditional, the real thing. Oh, 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 oh. You know, here we have our nice temple and all nice people, and around in the suburbs here, generally quite nice people, you know, quite civilized and decent people. The hippies were just bizarre. One time Prabhupada was sitting in his room. He had a little flat just behind the center. Prabhupada was sitting there. One boy came in, sat down and said, "I am higher than you. I am God." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Please accept my obeisances. And if you wouldn't mind, I'm busy. Could you please go?" So God had to leave. And Prabhupada would get all these people coming in different, at different points in LSD experiences. One girl came in and said, "When I chant Hare Krishna, red lights flash in front of me. What should I do?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Just keep chanting, it will go away." One time, some members of a very heavy hippie rock group called the Thugs. I don't know if you've heard of them. Thugs. Really just like totally degraded, unbelievable. With some of the entourage came in. And as it happened, Prabhupada that night gave a class criticizing taking drugs. Strongly. And one of the Thugs, he's like one of the leaders of the hippie movement practically, in the middle of the class, he said, "Have you, you're saying so much against LSD, but have you ever taken it?" And Prabhupada said, "No." And the young man said, "Sir, how can you criticize? You don't even know what it is. How can you say these things?" And he turned to his friends, you know, like an entourage, and they're all like, "Yeah, you got him there, caught him out." And Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, amongst many other things, was the master of one-line sort of devastations of other people's nonsense ideas, if you follow what I mean. Prabhupada said, "You do not need to eat stool to know that it tastes bad." And what could they say? I think they just walked out. So what Prabhupada was dealing with, actually, unless you've been part of it, you know, I was sort of, to some degree, part of it. It's very hard. It may not even really be possible to imagine very clearly what it was like. But it was very extreme. Kali Yuga degradation. Very, very extreme. And, yeah. And there was one time someone was interrupting Prabhupada, saying some nonsense. And Prabhupada just turned away. And Prabhupada said, "The lowest of the low." So actually, this is what these people were like. You may have read the famous story, you may have heard of. Prabhupada's giving class in 26 Second Avenue. A wino came in. Wino. Not just an alcoholic, not just a meth head, but a wine specialist. And he's just a street hobo who just drinks wine all day. He just walked in and started inviting the devotees, here, offering them, have a drink, come on. And some of the devotees, well, they were sort of not exactly even devotees by that stage, but some of the people who were interested, they got up and they're moving towards him to grab the fellow and just eject him. And Prabhupada said, no, leave him. And then this man pulled out a roll of toilet paper. And I don't know if you've been on 26 Second Avenue, it's still there. It's still a center, one of our centers. But in 26 Second Avenue, where Prabhupada was sitting, like the entrance, the street, say, let us say it's down that end, Prabhupada's sitting here, facing the entrance, but, you know, some distance away. And behind him, and to this day it's still there, is the toilet. It's actually in the middle of the room. And the man walked through everyone into the toilet, left the toilet paper, walked out. As he's going out, he said, I'll be back after a while with some more. And out he went. And Prabhupada said, just see, even though he is not all right, but he has done some service. Prabhupada, along with being the expert with one-line responses, was an expert in expressing himself in very sober ways, even though he is not all right. He was far from all right. So what Srila Prabhupada tolerated, it is... It's actually quite inconceivable. But what did he do it for? Not just to get followers, to become popular, to become successful, to become accepted by the Westerners or anything like that. Prabhupada went through all of that, and then everything he went through till he left this world, in order to give the world Krishna consciousness as it is. And this is what this temple is for, to give the people Krishna consciousness as it is, but it's also to give us Krishna consciousness as it is. You know, we're a little hesitant to just bring deities, even to bring Srila Prabhupada and just hand him over, just go for it, ISKCON Peter Maritzburg, because it is different. Actual deity worship is different, very different from what your, say, not just yourselves, but just, say, Hindu people in general are used to. It's very different. You know, like I said, generally to people, the altar with deities, what does it mean? It means a facility for me to come and see the nice deities. Oh, they look pretty. And stand there and pray, give me something, and walk out. That's not deity worship. That is not deity worship, which will actually help us and help the people to progress. That's idol worship. It's just a sort of practically hallucination. It's just some pleasant foolishness. It's nice looks nice, but it's foolishness. There's no real substance to it, and people are not getting much, if any, benefit from it. So, to do deity worship, real deity worship, in such a way that it's actual worship of a deity, and that we actually get benefit and we make progress, oh, it has to be done in certain ways, to certain standards. We can't have it like a mockery. When we were traveling around England in the 70s, a group of us, we stayed in the Coventry Hindu temple. Nice people, they let us stay. Fine. There was a pujari there, someone they brought in from India. And every day he offered to Radha and Krishna peanuts and rock candy. Right? You know what I mean? Mishri. And that's what he offered. And then we stayed there perhaps a week. And after some days we noticed not only were Radha and Krishna only getting peanuts and rock candy, but they were getting the same peanuts and rock candy. You follow? The actual same peanuts were being offered and re-offered and re-offered. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, that is, you know, that's really quite bad, even by those standards. But anything sort of resembling that or related to that, that is not Krishna consciousness. That is not Vedic. That is not according to scripture, really, at all. That's not even an embarrassment. It's offensive. It's shocking. It's shocking. It's terrible. So, yes. So, you know, like in Phoenix, New Jagannath Puri, I imagine you've all been there. It was sort of similar situation. Built the temple. It was hard work. It was really hard work. Much bigger than this. It was really hard work. But they built it. They got it done. And then little Gaur Nittai, Nittai Gaura Sundar, were installed. But before the devotees were allowed to do more like serious deity worship, you know, it took them years, actually they're still working on it, to come to a proper standard of what is actual deity worship according to scripture and according to the standards of the disciplic succession of the sampradaya. Just like in Chatsworth, Radharadhanath, their clothes are changed twice a day. They receive six offerings of food and, you know, like really nice offerings. The devotees really work hard. Very nice offerings. Six artis every day, 365 days a year. Yeah. In Nathdwar, Sri Nathji in Rajasthan, the deity's clothes are changed 8 times a day. 8 times a day. And they never wear the same set of clothes twice. Yeah, this is another dimension. This is actually beyond the standard which Srila Prabhupada taught for ISKCON. So we might think, some of us might think, oh, you know, this is going to be hard work. They are going to expect me to do this. They are going to expect me to do that. But it's actually for our benefit, for our development in Krishna consciousness. Because you just have to do things like this to make progress. You know, like you have to chant 16 rounds. You just have to. Otherwise you're not going to really make much progress. You may be a nice, pleasant person, give some donations perhaps, and that's very nice. But making substantial spiritual progress, really developing as a devotee, becoming purified, and really developing your relationship with Krishna, one has to follow the process as given by Srila Prabhupada. And then you do things nicely, then you benefit so much. You make progress and Krishna becomes pleased. So, you know, we could, as Madhukanta Prabhu again boldly said, you know, maybe Srila Prabhupada may be installed, or maybe Gaur Nithai, like when we open. Well, there are two ways that could happen. One would be if we all, and I just mean us sitting in this room, really came to, maybe not in all cases, but I think in quite a few, higher standards of Krishna consciousness than we're at now. You know, I don't want to appear like I'm criticizing or minimizing you, but more advanced stages of Krishna consciousness, one, or two, import some pujari or pujaris from India, Bharat, say. Yes. fly them in to, you know, to do the thing. Because we haven't, you know, quite made it yet. That's what it means. We haven't made it yet, and we've decided that, well, for the time being, we're not really going to make it yet. Maybe later. See how it goes. So you're all nice. You know, I think the great majority of you, so many of you, I've known for many years. Some of you I've known for like 30 years or something along those lines. And you're devotees at heart, through and through devotees. And we understand that and respect that and appreciate that. We got to keep moving forward. We got to keep moving forward and develop our Krishna consciousness. And ultimately the main reason for that is we need to go back to Godhead. And we need to become, to reach that point in our Krishna consciousness where Krishna will be ready to accept us. Prabhupada, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verses 13 and 14 through to 20, Krishna explains what types of qualities he appreciates in devotees. You can read it. My devotee who's like this, very humble and free from attachment to possessions, and different things like this. There's a whole list. Krishna says, such a devotee is very dear to me. Prabhupada gave one class on verses 13 and 14, which was recorded. You can read the transcript if you've got Prabhupada's books on a computer. Prabhupada begins the class by saying, he's read these two verses, 13 and 14, in which Krishna says, if a person is like this and like this and like this, they're very dear to me. So Prabhupada begins by saying, yes, this is Krishna consciousness. How will Krishna love me? How will I become such a person that Krishna will become attracted to me? There he is. There's my devotee. I want him. I want her. I want their association. Because, you know, in a sense, it's not like a play on words, but in a sense, no one can go back to Godhead. Like, later tonight, we will go home. Nobody really goes back to Godhead, in a sense. But people are only taken back to Godhead by Krishna when Krishna's ready for you. And Krishna feels you're ready for him. That's how people, quote unquote, go back to Godhead. We have to endear ourselves to Krishna. And not whimsically, but by following the process given by those who are dear to Krishna, who know Krishna, who are close to Krishna, particularly Srila Prabhupada. So, devotees, please take this to heart. And, you know, preparing the building, it's to a large extent done, but not finished yet. Any of you who have promised at any point to contribute for the construction, but for whatever reason haven't, please do. It's an investment in your future. It's not just a sacrifice. We just had to give away some money. But it's an investment for your future in Krishna consciousness. And it's an investment for completing the building more quickly. But mainly, you know, we really want to build ourselves as devotees. And you can do it. So many of you, as I look around, I know who you are. And I know you've got the potential. Some of you are already on that level, actually. But some of you, you've got a little way to go. Keep going. You can do it. And ultimately, you will be the beneficiary. You will be the one who benefits by getting the mercy of the Lord through making the effort to progress in Krishna consciousness, which in this context includes being qualified to play your part in the actual running of this temple. Because the real story begins not on the 11th and 12th of March 2017. The real story begins on Monday the 13th. Because then we have to run the temple. It's just going to be another dimension of devotional service. So, Hare Krishna devotees, thank you for listening very patiently. And, oh. Thank you, Madhukata. Thank you for listening very patiently. Please take it to heart. Please don't try not to let your mind take advantage of you and tell you that, oh, it's just this Bhakti Chaitanya Swami again, the slave driver, the one who's trying to push us out of our comfort zone. Take it to heart, and now let's really move forward in our Krishna consciousness. So this temple becomes not just a very nice building, very attractive and pleasant, but it becomes a dynamic center of pure Krishna consciousness, just radiating transcendental potency all around Pietermaritzburg. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanandi.
Hare.
Hare Krishna. I think the question Maharaj asked towards the end, and I was quite excited about the question. What happens after the temple opens? What's going to happen on the 13th of March? Where do we go from there? You know, and it's an important question, you know, and we know the temple is going to cost, we require at least about plus minus 3 million at this stage. But at this stage, to complete a certain section and have it ready for opening, we're looking at about 1.1 million. At this, to make sure that we have everything ready for the 11th of March. So it'll be appreciated if devotees could really come forward in regards to us getting our target. Thank you, Maharaj, for your encouraging words and creating an enthusiasm amongst devotees. We talk about, we all want to be enthusiastic in our realization, and more importantly, trying to bring about Srila Prabhupada and possibly the Murtis in to Pietermaritzburg. In order to bring about Srila Prabhupada Maharaj, there is a list that's going to go around, not now, you can find it on the board. We'll stick it out on the notice board, we'll create a notice board of all the paraphernalia items that is required and what you can contribute towards this. And this is important, or what could you buy or you can donate. I think this is very much, you know, like the kurtas, the dhoti, the serving trays and the cups and everything else for Srila Prabhupada. So we got to get that all well in advance. Nityananda Prabhu is working on a list, you know, and we hope that he could follow up that list to ask everybody to make the contribution. So I think that is very important. I know we got the dhotis all sponsored, going to be paid for, it's going to be made. His Grace Swarup Damodara Prabhu, our regional secretary for KwaZulu-Natal, is getting some of the outfits made, but we are going to pay for that because it's been sponsored, and we looked at some of the outfits that was in the case today that came, and we've already got three outfits already for Srila Prabhupada. We need to get at least about 8 outfits complete for Srila Prabhupada. Just to get Maharaj's more association and to be with Maharaj and get his blessing and create an enthusiasm, arrangements have been made for Mangal Arati for tomorrow morning. To be with Maharaj, get his mercy, and it'll be very, very nice if all of you could come, because it is a very critical part of the year now for the next 6 months. It's very, very critical that we do have this inspiration from Maharaj, you know, amongst the devotees, and as well as to give that enthusiasm to the billing committee to go forward and far as that is concerned. So there are various aspects that we're looking at. So tomorrow morning at 4:30 we're going to have Mangal Arati, thereafter Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, and Maharaj will give a class, and then after that he will meet the billing committee to have a look everything in loco and discuss what is to be next. Goshala, tomorrow morning, there's a bus leaving at 9:30. But those have already given the names, Please note that you will be first on the bus, because I believe there is the smaller bus that's coming. So don't go in. If you didn't give a name, you can come here and wait, and they can send a bigger bus. On Sunday, we have an added blessing, and we're having His Holiness Kalama Kalamaraj will be here on Sunday at 11 o'clock. So you can see we're having a very, very spiritual weekend. And this is what we were looking forward to. And this is most important. Again, I'm emphasizing that it is because we want to go forward in respect of our temple. And I know with the blessing of Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, who has made quite a considerable contribution to the temple. And we'd like to see this temple be completed, or partly completed by the 12th, and then completed thereafter with, by the end of the year. But our opening will be there. It's going to be a bumper affair, and we are going to look forward to that. If there's nothing further, we will have Guru Puja, Hare Krishna, and we can offer flowers to Srila Prabhupada and ask for his blessing, because the foot of Srila Prabhupada is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and we want to uphold his name. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Maharaj, you're right.